well, well, what do we have here? It's the Gall Darn Lofts. Today is Thursday, April 12th, and the Washington Capitals playoffs begin this night. A game one against the Columbus Blue Jackets is at Capital One Arena at 7:30 p.m. the year of our Lord 2018. And to get you ready for it, I spoke with Katie Brown. Katie Brown, an alumna of Washington Capitals journalism, has also spent some time with the Pittsburgh Penguins and is now helping out with the Columbus Blue Jackets for some writing during this this postseason, which we will hopefully make very short for the Tortorella posse. Katie and I got together and we talked about Ian Cole, about whom Katie had run a feature earlier on Wednesday. We also talk about the things you really care about, like Starbucks and Katy Perry and Jason Isbell. And hopefully we just sort of set the table for you a little bit with how the playoffs will go. I hope you're doing okay. I hope you're wearing some cool Caps gear. Me, for example, I'm probably wearing my Southeast Division Champions shirt or my President's Cup shirt from, 2010. Those are my two favorite playoff garments. Or maybe I'll be wearing my Lofts, my Rush Machine LOFFS Comic Sans t-shirt designed by Kara, which I lovingly wear every opportunity I can during this period of time in the postseason, which lasts no more than 3 weeks typically if you're a Washington Capitals fan. But enough about that sort of miserable attitude that I'm just exuding and I can't stop. Let's get to the interview with Katie Brown. Welcome to the RMND podcast.
And now it's time for the RMNB podcast.
Roy Rogers hotline. That's not a real thing, but wouldn't be cool if it was. I've got Katie Brown. Katie Brown's contributing to NHL.com's coverage of the Columbus Blue Jackets for this wonderful first round series. Katie, thank you so much for hanging out.
Welcome, Peter. I don't really have anything else going on tonight, so
you didn't just get finished watching the Pittsburgh Penguins put a 7 spot up on the Philadelphia Flyers?
Oh, yes. I did get done watching that.
What did you make of that?
That?
And I'm using scare quotes here, game, because that was probably the worst, competition of athletes I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I missed the first period, but at some point during the second, I think the Penguins had one of their many power plays, and it looked like the Flyers just forgot how to skate, like... I don't know what they were doing.
And every single piece of rubber that went near the net went in the net. That was I don't know what the Flyers are going to do to come back from that. I thought Matt Murray was going to be the problem. I really thought that this was the year that, like, Matt Murray had that sort of like rough regular season. I thought he would just, shrivel up into dust in this postseason. But whoops, I got that one wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a percentage of Pittsburgh Penguins fans probably feel the same way. Like, there's literally like a segment of Twitter that thinks, and I'm not saying you think Matt Murray sucks, but there's a segment of Penguins Twitter that thinks Matt Murray is genuinely bad.
That's the cup winner,
but I think
Matt,
like,
Murray.
Right. And yeah. But like, I think he had a rough year. I think the cup hangover is kind of real, even though like Mike Sullivan will say it's not. And also, like, he had a couple concussions, and then he had, his father passed away. So he did kind of have a rough year personally. But I also think that the team was very crappy, like, for the first part of the year. And he did actually have some good performances that were overshadowed by, the team forgetting how to play in front of him. So, I mean, that's just people blaming the goalie for everything, I guess, which they did with Marc-Andre Fleury, so whatever.
Yeah, it sort of seems like the Penguins just sort of got their act together, not really until like January, February, March, but they look fearsome as heck with that first game. Conn Smythe winner Sidney Crosby's raring up to go.
Yeah, he's in for his he's up for re-election for the in the Conn Smythe. So, you know.
Hey, here's a question for you. You mentioned Penguins coach Mike Sullivan. Have you noticed any contrast between his style from your time covering the Penguins to John Tortorella, head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets? Would you say that they are similar or different?
I actually think they're pretty different, because I know everyone thought that like John Tortorella was like a hothead for a while outwardly, like he would kind of snap. But Mike Sullivan can get pretty feisty, but I feel like he contains it well. John Tortorella now, to me, compared to like 6 years ago coaching the Rangers, seems just like a really chill, like zen guy now. Like he's not as tightly wound. Yes, I think that was underneath the surface all along, really. That's just what was there. He was just like really stressed out.
with like the next month of his life either going against the Washington Capitals and their fans, and then possibly, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins and their fans, I just have like, we're about to see if John Tortorella's calm is actually impervious, because there's nothing that'll be more challenging and more frustrating and more unnecessarily dramatic than playoff series against either of those teams, or maybe even the Philadelphia Flyers if they can come back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll see John Tortorella throwing a water bottle at anyone anytime soon.
Oh man, that'd be so great though. That was so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I was talking about this with somebody else the other day. Who was it when he coached the Canucks and he tried to fight like Bob Hartley out in the hallway
right.
in Calgary? Like, I think there should be more coach fights instead of like players fighting. I think that's more entertaining.
Wasn't there like some like semi-apocryphal story about like George McPhee threatening to fight another GM after a game where like
he did. It was one of like the Blackhawks like assistant
yes,
coaches. He just punched
right.
him in the hallway, and then he got jumped by some Blackhawks players. And I was actually, this is funny that you mentioned that specific story, because I was talking about this with one of my friends the other day, and I read like the first three paragraphs of the story, and one of the paragraphs mentioned that George McPhee was left with like a torn suit sleeve because he had been pulled away by like Capitals people, and like he had gotten kind of like jumped a little bit by some Blackhawks players after punching their coach.
That's wonderful. What a great.
That's my favorite George McPhee story.
So switching from hotheads to cooler heads, I read your feature on Ian Cole today. Ian Cole was he traded from the Penguins this year?
He was traded to the Senators
That's
from
right.
the Penguins, and that was the whole like Derek Brassard trade where Ryan Reeves ended up in Vegas and they retained some of his salary. It was crazy.
How did he end up in Columbus?
The Senators, as soon as they acquired him, they were pretty clear about the fact that they didn't intend on keeping him, that they wanted to flip him to a contender for a pick. Because, I mean, he's going to be a free agent, and so he's probably going to make a good chunk of change this summer. And, you know, his market value is pretty high. So, you know, they knew they could get a good pick for him. So that's how he ended up in Columbus.
Good for former Cup champion Ian Cole. How's he fitting in?
Sorry,
with
two
Columbus?
Time. Two-time.
It's a binary thing. You're either a Cup champion or not. I know, because all the players on my preferred team are not Cup winners.
Can I just have like a sidebar here for 1 second?
Hit me.
One of my major pet peeves is happening like more than like just constantly now, because it is the playoffs. Like someone says, oh, a player's won two cups. Well, no, the player has won. There's one cup. You can win it multiple times. So please stop.
Okay. So I think I've got like a mental index of the things that annoy you and in like hockey discourse. Is another one of them like saying that like Alex Ovechkin is a former first round pick? Is that another one that bothers you? Because he's always a first round pick, right? It's not like he stopped being it. Am I like
actually,
misremembering this or ascribing this to you that wasn't from you?
No, that's not me. No, that wasn't me, actually. I don't know who that is. That might be like, you might be like thinking of, occasionally, Pierre, LeBron will go on like, here's what I hate when like people do this to the English language, and it will be something like that.
I just can't take, he's going to want that one back. I just, like, there's what on the
yeah.
planet, like, that's, those are words that didn't need to be said.
Sorry, what?
Back to Ian Cole. How is he fitting in Columbus?
Actually, great. John Tortorella was the first to say that he referred to the whole transition on and off the ice as being seamless, just because he said he walked in the locker room. He just has, you know, he commands his respect because of, you know, his resume. You know, he's won championships. And he also has a good personality. He's easygoing, gets along with a lot of other guys. And then he had paired him with David Savard right from the get-go. And they've been together ever since. It was 20 regular season games. And he's helped. I guess Savard was previously paired with Jack Johnson. Sorry, I'm very tired. And he kind of, his play kind of fallen off a little bit. And then once he, you know, him and Cole got together, they've seen aspects of his play kind of be revitalized by playing with him. And also, like, how, like, they have the two biggest beards, like, on the planet besides, like, Brent Burns. So they're pretty unmistakable.
Yeah. And I think put together, that pairing plus Jones and Werenski on the top pairing really make the Columbus Blue Jackets have a pretty scary blue line. And man, I think what a gift to Savard to go from Jack Johnson, who I think is an overrated defenseman, to Ian Cole, who is a has won two cups, plural. That's a good for him. He played his very first game in Columbus, I understand it, on the day of the trade deadline, which was after fan favorite Taylor Chorney had joined the Columbus Blue Jackets, was really getting revved up to play his first game with his new club. I believe it was against the Capitals, because I think some of the Caps press they were interviewing him. And then as soon as the interview is done, and Taylor Chorney's like, I'm really psyched to play this new game against them, my old team, and show them what they missed out on. And then Torts must have been like, hey, guess what?
And then Ian Cole shows up and he's like, what's up? Throws on a jersey. Sorry, Taylor, today's not your day.
That's awful.
Evidently, I believe in their last game of the season, when they were actively or not actively trying to dodge playing the Penguins in the first round, when basically the Predators were like not playing all their guys, and then the Blue Jackets were not playing some of their guys, Taylor Chorney didn't even play in that game. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Poor Taylor Chorney. I don't want you to like speculate, but do you know what went on there? I mean, like, it's real. The most common and likely thing is,
yeah, honestly,
that's fine.
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I wasn't there.
I'm not going to speculate wildly, but it's obvious that, well, no, it's not obvious anything, but they were probably just resting players. But man, it couldn't hurt if you're resting players, and you might want to dodge the guys that just blew up your goalie last, you know, postseason. You know, Bobrovsky had that just brutally rough playoffs against the Penguins last year, which really just revved up the Penguins to explode my Capitals in the second round, which was fun for me personally.
Braden Holtby also kind of exploded in the second round a little bit last year. So
thank you for that. Thank you for that painful segue, Katie. So as you well know, as a longtime Capitals reporter, Braden Holtby is not going to be backstopping the team for game one on Thursday. What do you make of the change there?
I think it's interesting. I mean, it's been since, what, 2012, for the first time since in six postseasons, that Braden Holtby is not going to be the guy starting game one of the playoffs. I mean, whatever, like, it, maybe, you know, maybe Grubauer kind of implodes in game two or game three, and then it's Holtby's time. But, you know, why not go with the guy that's been playing well? I don't think that's a knock against Holtby. It's just, okay, like, you want to win, play with the guy that's been helping you win.
That was a hateful hypothetical you've just put out there, Katie. Yeah, maybe Grubauer explodes against the Blue Jackets tomorrow night.
I don't wish that on him. I hope he does. I mean, I don't want people to not be healthy or have mental breakdowns.
But you put that poison out in the universe. You just posited that it could happen, and now it's
no
in the realm
as
of possibility. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. I would say 50 months out of the year. But for these next two weeks out of the year, for the next couple of, I don't know, let's say a maximum of 14 games into the future, I do now believe in jinxes. I don't know, who do you think that I should be watching out for on the Blue Jackets in game one? Do you think it'll be a blue liner like Seth Jones or that bread person on the forwards?
John Panarin. Yes. Did you read that story where he when he goes to Starbucks, he tells them his name is John?
Yes.
Because he doesn't want to tell them how to spell his name.
Do you go to Starbucks? I don't go to Starbucks, so I don't know this experience. Like, when you order and you order using some kind of esoteric arcane knowledge to, like, say what kind of thing you want, you don't say I want coffee.
Yeah.
And then you tell them your name and then they deliberately misspell and mispronounce it. Is that how Starbucks works?
Sometimes I think they misspell it on purpose. And thankfully, like, I don't have a name that, or I mean, my name's pretty easy to spell, and if someone spells it like K-A-T-Y, that's not a big deal, whatever. Like, I don't really care. I'm not that offended by people like not spelling my name wrong, but I also haven't experienced people continually spelling my name wrong throughout my entire life, so I can't relate to that. but I usually, like, I've gone into some Starbucks where they don't ask for your name, but usually they do that when it's crowded because they like just call your name out and they want you to know that, you know, your coffee's ready.
I bet if I could go on to like Reddit, yeah, and find some kind of community where people are like, where Starbucks employees go to talk about how they just mess with people all the time by deliberately spelling their names wrong.
There probably is, actually. Like, I found that, like, various, like, retail stores have, you know, like, Target has a Reddit, you know, like, you know, that's pretty entertaining, actually.
So K-A-T-Y, I imagine that you offered this spelling because you, like me, are a Katy Perry partisan and you're anti-Taylor Swift.
Yes.
This is correct, right?
Okay, wait. Okay, no. I love Taylor Swift. I, like, never really took a side. I kind of, like, you know, felt like some kind of shade against Katy Perry just because of that. Like, but you know what? We weren't there. We don't know what went down. But I've kind of warmed up to Katy Perry from watching American Idol this year.
I've not seen it.
She's really funny. Oh my God, she's hysterical. I honestly, like, I was like, Katy Perry, I was not so sure about it. And then I was like, she seems genuinely funny and nice. And, like, I would definitely hang out with her. Like, she's probably, like she's literally, like, the vice of the party.
Why haven't they had a, like, a get-together reunion? I feel like it's easy to exploit for downloads or clicks or whatever makes singers money.
Maybe.
These days.
I think we overblow all these things because, like, you know, like, how
no
many
way
of us have...
They're making, like, each of them kind of dedicated, like, 25% of their most recent albums to diss tracks for the other one.
Like, I mean, whatever. But, like, I guess we're not all, like, multi-million dollar songwriters with millions and millions of fans that can use, like, our personal beats to, like, make money. Because it's probably just, like, you know, like, Katy Perry clogged my toilet or something. Now I'm kind of like, I can't believe she did that to me. Why would you do that?
This is so true.
I'm going to write a song about this.
Well, and their more recent material is not performing as well as their older material, which means that we have to move on to better musicians like Janelle Monáe, who I think is kick-ass.
Yes.
You're a
yes.
Big...
Have you...
Her new stuff's amazing so far. And I know you're a
oh
big
my God.
Haim fan, or is it Haim?
Haim.
You are a fan right there, right?
Yeah.
They're awesome. See, we could talk about
tunes.
Yeah. I like the more ironic like Katy Perry stuff. Anyway, people tuned in to this podcast expecting us to have trenchant analysis about hockey. And I feel like we may have gone off the rails a little bit with the Starbucks, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, Janelle Monáe tangent there. So I think we're talking about John Panarin, Antemi Panarin, who...
Artemi.
Thank you.
I think I'm pronouncing it right. I don't know. Sometimes I second guess my pronunciation of things. So I think it's Artemi.
I don't know.
Let's just call him by his last name.
So Panarin, how best should the Washington Capitals try to shut him down? Do you think it'll be like a... using the Dmitry Orlov, Matt Niskanen pair, or trying to use like Nicky Backstrom? Do you think Barry Trotz will try to like match up against them strictly, or you think the game will be more like feeling them out, trying to roll lines and see what works and what doesn't?
I feel like Barry Trotz is kind of in the matching line, so he might try to do that at first.
Yeah.
I mean, they played these guys four times this year, so I mean, they know exactly what they're getting.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think Trotz did that a lot against the Leafs and the Penguins last year, especially when with that Kuznetsov line. So maybe he'll get into that again.
I think he likes that, like you said, Kuznetsov kind of getting like a specific line out against whoever.
I think he'll try to have Kuznetsov get like activated on offense and try to get them shifts against whoever's on the third pair that's not Jack Johnson, Ryan Murray, and somebody whoever's the third pairing defense on the Blue Jackets. I guess to put a bow on it, what are your expectations for Game One? Are you thinking we're gonna see two teams getting physical? Are we gonna see some goalies just explode like we did in the Flyers at Penguins Game One? Or what are you thinking? What was the tone of the room?
I hope no exploding goalies. I mean, goalies like allowing a bunch of goals is always really fun in playoff games. Kind of like, you know, watching the Flyers tonight, Exhibit A. I don't know. I feel like this, from watching John Tortorella coach teams like throughout the years, he's very kind of like he wants things to be very tight defensively and not like Guy Boucher playing the trap in Ottawa and sucking the life out of hockey. But I feel like this team is pretty loose and they're fun. Like, I mean, I think Panarin is probably like the most fun, but he's made them more fun. And now Don Tortorella seems like he appreciates the fun.
I just looked it up. I think it'll be, and this is another name that I'll brutalize. I think it's he's probably from Finland. Markus Nudavara.
Oh yeah!
Looks like he'll be third pairing with Mr. Ryan Murray. So that's a wonderful little battalion of defense for Columbus. And I'm like thinking back on the rosters that John Tortorella's had to coach before, and I can't think of a better one.
They're really stacked, and I think not to toot his horn too much, but I've talked to a couple people that have been around the Blue Jackets all year. And they said that they kind of needed a guy like Ian Cole that's kind of, I don't know if feisty is the right word. I don't want to use the word grit because I feel like that has a negative connotation.
Use it. It's fine.
Just someone who's just not afraid to, like, stick up for themselves. I felt like after talking to a couple people today, they were just like, because I watched Ian Cole play with the Penguins. And he's the kind of guy, like, you know, someone rubs him the wrong way, like, he's going to make sure that they know that they did, you know. He's going to finish his check the next time, you know. He's not a dirty player, but, you know, he'll finish his check. And, you know, he'll get tough. And, you know, the person I talked to kind of said, you know, they kind of needed that. They didn't have anybody like that before. So he's kind of added that element and, like, I don't want to say, why do I keep using corny words? Kind of inspired or, you know, other players kind of do the same thing. So I think they're tough, but not tough in the sense like, oh, we're just going to hit you guys a bunch and not actually care about having the puck.
This is
not that kind of tough.
What it is it's the hockey journalism postseason spirit getting into your veins. That's how,
oh my God.
That's what we talk about. We talk about heart. We talk about grit. We talk about sandpaper. We talk about...
Wait. The collective term, intangibles.
There you go. I feel like I have done a really good job up until about, let's say, 45 seconds ago, keeping calm, keeping my blood pressure even, like not thinking about this sort of like playoff intensity, which really just hits me like the stomach flu this time of year. I had been avoiding it, and then you started talking about like Ian Cole finishing checks, and I'm like, oh God, it's starting.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say like, oh, like he's, you know, I'm just saying he's played in like games that mean something, and by that I mean like Stanley Cup final games. So like maybe you take a penalty, but like if it, you know, he knows how to perform in high pressure situations.
So speaking of penalties, though, the great irony is that the Blue Jackets are better than the Capitals at 5-on-5, or at least they're better at controlling play. Even if they aren't quite as good at scoring, or at least they haven't been good at scoring until recently.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that graph you tweeted earlier. I didn't look at it for like a super long time, but that was interesting.
But like the and so like on 5-on-5, Yeah, well, I'll definitely give the edge to the Blue Jackets, but I think that the Capitals definitely have better special teams, or at least better power play. I think it's probably pretty close on the penalty kill. And the Blue Jackets have not acquitted themselves great. And the only thing I can think of is there's a chance that for the first time in a long time, the Capitals might get the edge on playing a little bit more, how can I say this, on the edge, playing with a little bit of tang, a little bit of sauciness, especially if they can get spirited gentlemen with their intangibles like Ian Cole to maybe get busted for a penalty now and then. That could certainly turn out in their favor. So we'll that's enough mindless speculation on game one, but I'm keen.
This is what happens like the days leading up to like the first playoff game is like let's just regurgitate a bunch of stuff that happened like for the last like 3 months. And then once like the games start going, there's actually stuff to talk about. But now we're just like saying stuff.
What drives me nuts is it's like what 3 days? Like the next game's on Sunday, right? So there's gonna be 3 full ass days of like something's gonna happen in game one, and then one of the coaches is gonna say something incendiary about that. And then the next day at the practice, a player is going to say something, and then a coach is going to respond to it. And then let's say Jeremy Roenick is going to say something on Twitter. And by the time we get to game two, the entire hockey world will have disappeared inside of its own rear end.
Yeah, and by the end of it, by game two, like the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Washington Capitals will also be the greatest playoff rivalry of all time.
that's the way it goes. The way it feels every single time. Katie, like, Brown,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I was about to do like a really cool wrap up, like, you know, seamless. But
I stopped abruptly at the end of my sentence, and I realized like that's the most awkward part of like having conversations with people is occasionally interrupting them when they're not done talking or just being done talking, and then the other person doesn't realize it and thinks that you still have something to say. So there's like, you know, like a 10-second pause.
What I do in like video chats or in the rare case when I'm in a room with a person having a conversation with them, which really doesn't happen that often these days, is I will cover my mouth with my hand when I'm listening. And then when I'm getting ready to talk, I'll like reveal it. Like I'll just be like, and like I'm waving, like I'm about to do a magic trick. Like get ready for some words. And that's how it works when I'm face to face. And I feel like the more I disappear into my home office, the less good I get at genuine human interaction, but I still appreciate every moment I get to speak with you, Katie.
I enjoy speaking with you too, Pierre. It's been a long time.
It's been too long, and I hope we'll get to catch up one more time over the 7-game series. Do you have something for me?
It was the last time I saw you was the Jason Isbell concert at, what was it, Meriwether in July?
Who had not yet won a Grammy Award. That was a couple days before you moved away.
Yes, yeah, it was like July 1st, I think, and I moved like, or maybe it was like June 30th, and I moved like the 2nd or something.
That was a good ass concert.
The first. By the way, I saw him after he won the Grammy at Heinz Hall in Pittsburgh.
How was it?
It was awesome.
Was it better than our outdoor shed show?
I mean, it wasn't like the Mountain Goats really didn't get the party started. So I feel like it was a little bit different. But it was still really good. They were just like super like jacked that they had just won a Grammy. So, I mean,
good for them. They're the best. All right. Well, Katie Brown, as always, it has been a distinct pleasure. Kick some ass over the next few days, and I'll look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks, and thanks for having me on. I'm going to go watch Nate Schmidt.
Ooh, I'll do the same.
This has been Russian Machine Never Breaks, the podcast. But now, it's over. Nothing to see here. Move along.